Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going outside, I can't.
Oh, wait. Oh, I gotta get the sun, man.
There's no fucking sun out here. How are you? What are you, Dominican?
Yeah.
You're not starting to sell.
pretend to feel the cold wind blowing by. There's so many fish in the sea.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. The air date of this episode is September 7th, 2021. Tonight's subject, ladies and gentlemen, is black politics and black power. The show's subject tonight is inspired by one of our co-hosts, the one and only Anchorman. We're joined by associate producer and co-host, the one and only Che Nkrumah. We have a guest with us tonight,
sir.
Brother Israel. Welcome. And black politics and black power. We're having an in-depth conversation in regards to the history of black politics. One, the history of the black sellouts, the mindset of the ass scratchers and yassa bosses, and how it evolved from the plantation system. Also, two, number three, we'll be talking about the California recall election or selection for the governor. Larry Alders and his conservative bullshit, which is counterproductive to black advancement. We'll also be discussing Uncle Tom Bradley and his lack of regard for the black community in his 20 years as mayor of Los Angeles. And, of course, as you know, the Vice President Kamala Harris is traveling to California to campaign for Gavin Newsom. And also, too, as you know, this person by the name of Jenner is running for governor as well, too. And this episode is for those 18 years and older. Okay, so we're going to definitely welcome in our co-host, the one and only Mr. Che Nkrumah. Greetings there to you, Brother Che.
Greetings. Peace and black empowerment to the family. Make sure y'all check out frontlinecampaign.com or org.
No, it's .org.
Make sure y'all check out frontlinecampaign.org and Frontline Black News. I am your co-host. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you so very, very much. And also, too, folks, you can follow us here on Blog Talk, create a profile. Definitely check out our archived episodes. Check out our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Shabaka, capital EXP. Definitely check out frontlinecampaign.org as well, too, and definitely check out the StreamYard of Frontline Black News as well. Okay, so what we're going to deal with,
General, one more thing, the revolutionary agenda that comes on Thursdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. Check that out.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
The revolutionary agenda, don't forget that.
Indeed.
Brandy's
okay.
In the queue,
no.
Shabaka.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, she's unmuted. Okay. We all are unmuted, okay? So what we're going to do, you know, as
Shabaka's
always,
black
you know, try to watch.
Live in advance.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. And try to minimize the background noise. Okay, now, the history of the black sellouts. Okay, now, I will debate with any ass scratcher. He's welcome to call up this phone number here at, let's see, 516-418-5996. And also, too, in regard to the history of the black sellouts, we're still waiting on you Biden supporters to call in. And, you know, you've been invited to call in on the StreamYard. You've been invited to call in on Frontline Black News. You're still invited to call in here at Shabaka's Black Experience. And so we understand you got your head bumped. We understand you've been had and hoodwinked and got pimped. We understand, you know, but you can call in, you know what I'm saying? And then, as I said, I saw a sign somewhere that said, fuck Biden and fuck you for voting for him. Hey, you know, at least they are stating how they honestly feel. Now, as we all know, when Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois had sold out Marcus Garvey, Mr. Garvey had stated, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, you know, on my facts right here, that Garvey had stated that he knew that the whites was against him, but he was a little bit disappointed, you know, that you had these Negroes that went ahead with that bullshit, you see. And then, of course, as Brother Minister Malcolm X has stated in one of his lectures, you had the field Negro and the house Negro. And, of course, you know, the house Negro was the majority of the sellouts because he lived up there in the house with Master, you know, ate his leftovers, which is commonly referred to as chitlins, as we all know that they are guts. Okay. Now, the mindset of the Yasa bosses and how it evolved from the plantation system, you know, is how they would take a black male, demasculate him, effeminize him, brutalize him in the presence of his daughters, in the presence of his sons, who were mainly brought front and center, you know, to have the brothers made an example out of to the future generations of black men so they don't rise up, you know, with the rebellion. And then, of course, being naturally as men, of course, these rebellions did happen. So most definitely, of course, we want to pay homage to the spirits of those ancestors, you know what I mean, of doing what they did. Yes, sir.
No more tears.
And exactly. And then also, too, number three, the California election or selection of the governor there of Gavin Newsom, who is Nancy Pelosi's nephew. And this is the same bastard who's going to sit up there and order everybody to wear a mask in California with the clandemic, spandemic, plandemic, pandemic, or whatever game-demic that it is, and he's out here entertaining his wife up there, one of his family's wine vineyards up there in Napa County, wearing no mask. And bad news for you winos. So for all you cats that love to get drunk off your Ripple, Night Train, Boone Farm, and all that old shit, California's burning down again. Okay, so you drunk motherfuckers just recognize you're going to be paying, you know, more money, you know, for your short dogs and what have you. And then when I pass by the liquor store and what have you, would you motherfuckers please do me a favor and not ask me that bum shit? If you would please. That's all I'm asking. Number three. Okay. The California recall election or the selection of governor. Now, Mr. Larry Elder, you are an attorney in California. I saw you bullshit up on mainstream news yesterday where you stated that you went to Crenshaw High School, which is over there off of 52nd, and I'm trying to remember the damn street that's one block east of Crenshaw Boulevard near the Leimert Park District. You're up there, too, by where they had the great big mural at, where some neo-Nazis had came over there and sprayed a swastika over the imagery of Kathleen Cleaver as it was up there and what have you. And then, of course, Larry Elder, you have made the statement that black people overreact to police brutality. You are an ultra-conservative. You are running as a damn Republican. You know, and I find that they're kind of interesting. And you're out there in places like Orange County and California's rural parts, you know, kissing masses' ass and what have you. But I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts, Larry Elder, that your black ass will not be elected the governor of California. I think they're going to skip your sorry ass over and go to the number three cat. They also got a major recall going on either against the attorney general or the district attorney of Los Angeles County. Some cat by the name of Gascon, all right. And then also, too, Madam Vice President. Okay.
Such an embarrassment.
Indeed. Okay, Madam Vice President, you're going to be in California. You're going to be campaigning for Gavin Newsom, and then the person by the name of Jenner, you're running for governor, so I don't know what your agenda is or whatnot.
Brother Shibaka, Brother Che just got kicked off.
He just, okay, so ask Brother Che to please call back in, ma'am.
Please call back in. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and we don't know why, you know, they kicked off Brother Che.
I'm sure.
Yeah, okay, wait a minute. Yeah, Brother Che is back with us. Okay.
Yeah, because
you
Israel
said, Brother Israel.
I think he got dropped off, too.
Okay,
yeah, I'm
no,
here.
I still see him here in the key.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, he's
right
there.
Right.
There he is.
Yes, sir. Okay, and this episode is for those 18 years of age and over. So, therefore, so all our haters out there, you welcome to inbox us with your hate mail again. And a hashtag, you know, tonight, folks, is Tangibles 2020, Frontline Black News, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, We All We Got, Jesse Paris for Mayor, Resurrection of the Mental Dead, Black People, Okay, Black Children, HBCU, Hollywood
yes,
Reporter, Variety Magazine, Screen Actors Guild, Screen Directors Guild, Screenwriters Guild. Oh, and we got Larry Elder hashtagged as well, too. And we got
mm-hmm.
your hashtag, too, Gavin Newsom.
can I make a shout-out to
my Pan-African Economics and Politics, New Black Knowledge, and Black I Stand. Yes, sir, go ahead, General Ramil. The anchor man.
I
want
to make a shout out to the hood reporter Sharif Aleem, who inspired me to get into black media.
Oh, most definitely. Yes, sir. Most definitely. Yeah, definitely a shout out there to Brother Sharif on the great work of what he's doing and a great live feed that he's been doing along social media as well, too. Okay, so therefore, you know, all our haters out there, you know what I'm saying? You know, you lousy motherfuckers are welcome to call in as well, too, and we appreciate it. And this episode is for those 18 years of age and over, you know, covering our bases on that. Okay, but it's just so sad about the sellout, ladies and gentlemen, about how he involved, you know, he never thought, you know, he was part of the black struggle, which was clearly evident in the 1960s. And then as Brother Che and I had pointed out on a previous episode, when we, what was his name? John Lewis, I believe, Brother Che.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one who went up
yep,
there talking about how
John
great he was.
Good Trouble
who,
Lewis.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, getting beat upside the head and thought it was real good and all this old type of shit and... Who knows? May the brother rest in power. I appreciate his efforts and sacrifice.
What
but I'm
effort?
Just very
he didn't
curious.
Do a goddamn thing for us when he was congressman. He
right.
did for everybody
okay.
else but us.
That's right.
Fuck
that's
John
right,
Lewis.
That's right.
Maybe
right
less than
10. Yes, sir, and I approve of that message, sir. You get no argument from me.
This
you know.
Message was brought to you by frontlinecampaign.org.
Yes, sir, and we approve of the message, you know what I'm saying? Now, the thing is, people, is that when we look at those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the civil rights movement, but also mainly in the black empowerment movement, and if they was to see what was currently going on with this bullshit, I think a lot of them folks would be turning over in their graves. That there is just my personal opinion.
They already
you
did,
know
brother.
I mean?
They're doing that right
they,
now.
They could,
that's the earthquake.
They could be turning in their grave, but they have themselves to blame. They wanted integration. Integration was the worst
yes,
thing
sir.
That could have happened to us.
Oh, absolutely.
They wanted
Elijah Muhammad
tied
against
access.
That.
Yes,
Elijah
sir.
Muhammad tied against integration.
He, yes, sir,
to his death, he was against it.
Yes, sir. And I do believe that there was in part of his message to the black man. And I do remember when the heavyweight champion of the 1960s, you know, was echoing the same things. And he was the most hated black man in America. And keep in mind mm-hmm. the way the heavyweight champ made his money is because all these other groups paid to see him get his ass kicked. And he disappointed them, but we're the people there, and I, as one of them, in my youth, you know, had always wanted to watch him win, you know what I mean, and win again, you know. And then Negroes like Larry Elder, who sit up here and tell this bullshit that racism does not exist, that police brutality does not exist. So either this man is on some good drugs, or he's been severely abused, up hit upside his head, or he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Or he's insulting our intelligence, and I think it's the last two, that he don't know what the fuck he's talking about, and he's trying to insult our intelligence. You see what I mean? And then in this day and age, you know, homeschool our youth, so we need to concentrate our efforts on that to get them up out of these damn public indoctrination centers so you don't have more motherfuckers like Larry Elders. You see what I mean?
Right.
With that.
Right.
Now, Larry Elders said...
We already got enough tunes. We don't need no more.
Exactly. And then on top of that, Larry Elders claims he's from South Central L.A. Actually, Mr. Elders, you are from Southwest Los Angeles. You know what I mean? And then on top of that...
Shabaka, is that
yes,
street you were thinking of, is it 11th Street or is it Victoria Avenue?
Okay, where that Elders is from?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know he went to Audubon Junior High School. And that is in the Crenshaw District. Yeah. And South Central, you know, is when you get everything, man, like east of Arlington Avenue, which is the next big street that's going east towards downtown from Crenshaw. Yes,
okay.
You know, so therefore, yeah, so, you know, I just want to clarify that, you see. All right, and so then also two Elders, you know, he, man, I mean, he's a paid acrobat, man. I mean, let's get real. You know, they get these goddamn fools, man, that are sit up there with this bullshit, man, you know, a damn minstrel show, you know, ass-scratcher,
yeah.
Yasabal, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, yes, sir. You know, and the cold part about it is, now, this would be the first bastard to sit up there and tell you, man, I ain't no African. Well, motherfucker, you ain't white either, so what are you? Then you get those who want to sit up there and claim the blood.
Can I chime in? Can I chime in on that?
Yes, sir.
W.D. Farad, who taught Elijah Muhammad, had one statement that's so cold. He likes the devil because the devil gives him nothing. And nothing is nothingness. Nothing of value. No tangibles.
And no
tangibles. Yep. And he'll just sit there and skin and grin like Bill Bojangles Robinson in the Shirley Temple movie.
Not only does she like the devil, but she likes. Shabaka, not only does he like the devil, but he likes to try to act like the devil, which is dangerous.
It's very much dangerous. You know what I'm saying? And I think Brother Chad wanted to drop in some knowledge right there. Come on with it, Brother Chad.
Oh, I was just saying. Do you want an extra piece of cornbread? Do you want a butter biscuit?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And then the sad part about this is, Black family, is that this misleads a lot of our youth. You know? And what it is, and I expect, and I respect the art of rhythm and poetry. But when I hear that it's all is about killing our own people, man, and then degrading our women, then the women rappers come out degrading the men and all this old type of shit, and then, you know, they want to go off. Yeah, and then they want to go off with Billy Bob and these Opie motherfuckers.
Yeah. That happened after the invasion. The invasion of Kosovo.
Yes, sir. Indeed. You know what that about.
Here's George.
Indeed. And then that sick-ass institution called Hollywood out there in the City of Angels or the City of Devils and what have you. And in case, you know, none of our listeners know, is that Hollywood is a section of the City of Los Angeles. It's not its own city, because you can believe if you have any type of legal issues in Hollywood, you're going to be dealing with the Hollywood Division of the Los Angeles Police Department. So I just want to put that out there.
Right.
Okay, now.
Somebody got some background noise.
Okay, yeah, so please let's minimize our background noise, folks. And just put yourselves on self-mute. And then on self-mute, you know, when we You know, get from the source of the background noise, you know what I'm saying? To keep it professional. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We are going to be uploading some of our episodes to Spreaker. So Spreaker is going to be a source of where you can check us out. We're currently in the research and development of it as we speak right now. Okay, now, once again, when the black politician, you know, sells us down the river like Uncle Tom Bradley, Mayor Han Coon there in Denver, Cop Mala Harris and what have you. This is very, very counterproductive, folks.
Atlanta.
Oh, indeed. You know what I'm saying? Oh,
Lori Lightfoot in Chicago.
Yes, sir. And then another Sambo ramble-ass Negro that's running for mayor of New York that I saw up there skinning and grinning. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and I'm not even going to mention that fool's name because they was talking about the major floods that they're having right there. So he, once again, is more worried about master than his own people. You see? So therefore, folks, and as we constantly push the narrative, hey, Tangibles 2020 all the way to the 2100, we need something specifically for us, the descendants of slaves in the United States of America, you see? And you other groups, go hold your own nuts. You know what I'm saying? Because
you got a lot of background on.
Okay, and I see we got another caller here that I'm going to chime in to as well, too. They press one. Okay. All right, we're going to unmute this caller out of 647. Okay. All right, so we got a caller here out of 647, the last 46050. Okay, 6050, you're live on the air with Shabaka's.
Yeah, I was mainly calling to tell those who are not speaking but they're on mute because we're trying to listen to you, and it's hard, very difficult to hear you with that back.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right.
Mal,
yeah,
can you mute yourself?
Yeah. You know, yeah, with the background because we got a caller here that wants to comment. Okay. All righty, caller. You okay? You're on the air, 647-6050. Sir, and what is your name or handle that you go by?
Yeah, that was me, Patrick. That was me asking the people to put themselves on mute. But, interesting discussion. I think what you guys are bringing to this point, and that there is not necessarily a voting solution to the problem
that
I think you guys are
right.
You're not going to be able to vote your way out of it.
No. Right. Okay.
And so people who are in these positions and who are not performing for whatever reason, like, and people who have these really weird dispositions like Larry Elder and that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, by the way, what is your name, sir? Patrick. Okay, Mr. Patrick. Okay, yeah, please continue.
Yeah, they have these people are constant. They just do what they do. You're not going to change them. Whether you're talking about a leader here, whether you're talking about a coon leader in an African country or a Caribbean country, they are who they are.
Yes, sir.
You never change them, right?
Yes,
so,
sir.
One of the things is we have to look for a way, and we can't keep complaining about them because they are who they are. They're playing their role in this whole thing.
Right.
And we got to figure out a way around them. And I think too often, we spend a lot of time complaining about them. They're just another actor in this, and they're playing their role. You know, if they are
a
vocal scoundrel, you're going to play the scoundrel, right?
Right.
You know, they have to be dealt with. I do agree. They have to be dealt with in some ways, but I think trying to spend a lot of time to talk about them and what they're doing, what they're going to do, we just have to understand that that's the way they are. They're not going to change.
Right.
Our strategy has to change around them to circumvent them,
Yes, sir. Okay, let me ask you this, Patrick. Where are you calling from, sir?
Right now I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Oh, okay. All right. We got to Toronto, Canada. Okay. All right.
I'm not a Canadian. I've just been here for some years. And I'm American, but, you know.
Where are you originally from?
All righty.
Long Island.
Okay, New York City.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Please continue, Brother Patrick. You know you're dropping great knowledge there.
No, I wanted to bring that up and get you guys' thoughts on it because that's just the way I see it. You know.
Oh, absolutely, indeed. And to prove your point even further, Brother Patrick, if I may, man, when Uncle Tom Bradley was the mayor of Los Angeles, man, that's exactly what he was. And Larry Elders, you know, is a reflection of that mindset out there. It's because for some odd reason, man, when it comes to Los Angeles politics, man, I don't know if it's the smog, I don't know if it's the ocean, I don't know if it's the police brutality out there or the intimidation, you know, that the LAPD does to our people, because as far as I'm concerned, they're one of the major terrorist organizations in the world, and they're the most notorious gang in the city of Los Angeles, you know. All right, and then this is the more reason why we emphasize of homeschooling our youth, you see, and getting them up out of these public indoctrination centers, man, is because, see, that's where they learn that crap from. You see what I mean? Love everybody. Hate yourself. You see what I mean? Don't build nothing for yourself. Instead of going out here trying to build businesses and what have you, where you go out here, get your degree, and you go work for somebody else. See, that has to change because Asians don't do that. Very few whites do that. Other groups don't do that, and this is why we push the narrative, you know, that these other groups have to go out there and hold their own nuts, is because we were the main ones during the civil rights era and also through the black empowerment era, you know, that made the ultimate sacrifice, and everybody else is cashing in. We're not persons of color.
Yeah,
we are
the
black
FBA
people in
the
America.
Foundation of Black America.
Yes, sir. Indeed. You see what I mean?
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up? Okay.
Yeah, it's like some kind of echo or something going on.
Okay. Hold on a second there, Brother Che. Okay. They might be up here messing with our algorithms again because we are getting some feedback here. I mean, some negative feedback. Okay, let's see here. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Patrick.
No, I was saying I hear you just fine. I think, you know, with people like Larry Elder, I guess Larry Elder was tortured by his father, so his hatred of black men and himself being a black man is pretty evident. But
right.
You know, as far as other people coming here, I don't necessarily. There are other people who come here, let's say from south of the border. I don't blame them for taking advantage of what people are giving them. They're being given this stuff. They're being told to come over. They're being given. They're being allowed to break the law. They're being allowed to come in and set up shop and have all stuff that non-citizens are not supposed to have. And I don't blame them for taking advantage of it because maybe if I was in their situation, I would too. But however, I do blame the people that are giving it to them because what happens is into a store and stole a candy bar, you know, they're gonna, we know what that comes, but they can come and break the immigration law and come over the country and not be charged, right?
Yeah.
And be given, right? So
that's where
I think our focus should be if we're gonna address that issue. It should be at the ones that are giving them the power, because there are people, powerful people that want them to come over, and that's letting them break the law, right?
Right. That's what we're crumbling on. Like Denver's mayor, for instance, he made Denver a sanctuary city. He's allowing them to come here. He's allowing the Afghanis to come here. He's allowing all these immigrant groups to come here, and what happens is we get left behind. We built this country that's been on the United States of America without our blood, sweat, and toil. So we need to go after these politicians that are allowing these mugs to literally break the law by this illegal immigration and making these cities sanctuary cities where they can come and basically live freely. No, we have to put a stop to that. I agree with you.
Yeah, we just have to make sure that we don't turn our anger towards the people that are giving this stuff, because when you're given the hookup, most people are going to take it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you got that right,
yeah,
Patrick.
Most people don't take the hookup. I mean, we've all had the hookup before, whether it was a fast food restaurant or whatever. And when we were given the hookup, most of us took it, right? When we were young, you know, especially when we were younger, right? So
yeah,
I think we have to be careful not to turn the anger against those people so much. However, there is some disrespectful stuff going on with them, but I'll leave that for another day. But
that's perfect. This is perfect because we talk about the anti-black hatred of these groups that come from these other countries. They come over here hating us because when their country, the black people are subjugated. You look at Mexico. Mexico just started recognizing the black Mexicans in 2015.
Right.
So we're dealing with people that already have anti-black hatred that's coming over here, and they expect us to welcome them with open arms. No, we are being left behind, and we're being replaced by these buffer classes of which these immigrants are. So when we go after white supremacy, we got to go after these mugs, too. We got to go through them to get to the master.
Well, see, that's
why they're buffer classes.
Yeah, but that's the thing that we don't want to do, because here's the thing. They can always throw people in front of us. We'll be shadow boxing for the next 1,000 years. If we think that we have to go through some group that they throw in front of us before we get to them, no, we go to them. Directly.
Right.
We ain't got to go through nobody else.
How do you go to them directly when these other groups are being classified as white? But they're telling you that there's some kind of black and brown unity, and there isn't, because these mugs are classifying themselves as white. When they get here, they classify themselves as white. They're taking advantage of all the benefits of being white. So there is no camaraderie. There is no camaraderie there. The relationship is not reciprocal.
I
want to say one thing to that. Can I say one thing to that, brother?
Go ahead,
yes, sir.
Remember when what was the name of that sister that was, they were looking for her for murder, and she and Fidel Castro granted them
you're
talking about the Queen Mother.
Okay, Asada Shakur. My thing is, man, that, you know, I do believe in, I'll be honest with you, that black and brown got to work with each other. That's just my view.
How are we going to work with somebody that identifies us the enemy?
Well, I think you do it this way. First of all, individuals, we can't get caught up in individuals. We've been here longer than they have. So there's no way anybody should come in and then all of our focus is on them and we can't get to the person. We have direct line. We've been having a direct conflict with you know who, and we know who that is. I'm not going to let them throw bodies in front of me and then me fight everybody else and get mad at everybody else. I know who I'm going at. I'm sidestepping everybody, and I'm going after the person who I meant to go after.
True.
Right?
That's true. Everything else is a distraction.
Everything else is a distraction. You get, while I'm going to that person, you can call me names. You can say I'm this and that. I won't even bat an eye, because I see the person I'm going at.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. A cooler time, man. Revolution for real.
Yeah, you don't get sidetracked just because somebody don't like you or somebody call you a name. And that's all right. I'll deal with you later.
Yeah, but you got to remember, a lot of them people have been miseducated. When you look at people like Cubans, you know, their roots are black, whether they know it or not. You know what I mean? Go ahead, brother.
All of their roots are black. The fact is, they hate those black roots. and they don't want to have nothing to do with it.
Fault
because
is that? That's the person
us.
Who miseducated. They've been miseducated, brother. They've been miseducated. So the fault falls back on the establishment.
But we have to be better, right? So we have to be more
right.
people.
So, okay, so, I hear what you're saying, brother. But why do we have to be better? Why do we have to be the moral compass for everybody else? Why are we always the ones that are told that we have to do better? No, other groups need to do better. They need to do by us.
They wouldn't even be allowed to
come into this country if we didn't fight for them to even be allowed to come into this country. Prior to 1965,
true,
the immigration laws in this country did not bring in black immigrants at all. You were hard-pressed to find a Dessalines, a Delaney, a Marcus Garvey, any of that. And Marcus Garvey left the Caribbean because he couldn't get nothing popping in the Caribbean because the buffer class is there with the classism that goes on in them countries. He wasn't able to get nothing popping. There was too many cones. So he had to come to America to get stuff popping. Marcus Garvey didn't have a following of 8 million people in the Caribbean. He had that following in the United States. And I know this history because my family was Garveyites and Black Panthers. So I know the knowledge.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, why are we always the people that are always told we have to do better? Why do we always have to do better?
Because we're trying to survive.
No, I'm not saying nothing about us doing better. I'm just saying that we got to be informed. That's what I'm saying. You know,
yeah,
we got to be knowledgeable because knowledge is a weapon.
Yeah.
So that way you don't fire against somebody, a target that ain't even a target. And that's what the brother is saying, in which I'm in agreement with, brother.
Right. Keep your eyes on the prize. We know who the enemy is. We need to focus on that. I understand that.
Exactly.
But what I'm telling y'all is these other groups are being used to booster the white numbers because white people are dying out. They're at minus birth rate. Not just in America, but worldwide. And they're already the minority worldwide. So as they become the minority in the United States of America, just be aware. I'm not saying go hate other groups or any of that. I'm just saying just be aware that they're using these other groups against you. Because they are using them against you to replace you in the workforce, to replace you, period. So they want to leave you destitute and homeless. That's where we're going with this. And then we have an underclass. We move from being second-class citizens to third-class citizens. So
soon to be fourth-class.
We can't just sit here and sit by and allow this to happen, not say nothing about it, and then be surprised, like Dr. Clyde Anderson's been saying for decades, when it happens.
I think we have to look at it like this. So if you say, you know, all Cuban people – let's say, for example, in Cuban people, you know, they treat us like this or they see us like that or whatever. These are the white Cubans, right? But what we have to do
no,
is look
these
at
are Cubans, people. Period. They identify as white. They could be blacker than me and you, and they still identify as white. And you see how they go and vote. They voted for Republicans.
That's what we got to teach them. We got to teach them. We got to educate the people.
Democrat. They voted
that's
Republican.
That's
that is
true.
If you look at Florida, yes, it is, brother. If you look at Florida, you can tell in Florida. Florida is a prime example.
And they call themselves Afro-Cuban. They call
some
themselves
of them
Afro-Cuban.
Not all of them.
But I'm not saying all of them.
We got feedback. Yeah, we got feedback.
You're too close, man.
Big feedback. Yeah. We got feedback, you know, coming over our telemetry.
Might have to go on the
back. But the only thing I could say, this is a very, very great conversation right here that we're having. And then also, too, as Brother Chad pointed out, it's because that same classism, colorism shit you had in the United States, you had it in Brazil, you had it in London, England, you had it down there in Haiti. Or Haiti as well, too. Now, this is why, you know, we need to take note of the Haitian Revolution is because, you see, what they did, people, They did not sit out there and ass scratch and yacht the boss and what have you talking about that they got a damn dream with these motherfuckers. What they did was they just went on and kicked them off the damn planet. And as I walked through the streets of Panther Town, and I think of the brother who put his life on the line at the age of 24, 25, I believe, who was exercising his Second Amendment rights. And then, of course, the state of California changed the laws right there. Why? That's why you cannot open carry no more in California because of the sacrifices of what them soldiers made. And keep in mind, you know, they didn't have no $1 million behind them or whatnot. They went for what they know. Now, also, too, just slightly changing the subject.
Before you get to that point, Shabaka, Brandy has something she wanted to say.
Oh, yeah, come on, Brandy. And I see Brother Isaiah is with us. We got on mute his mic. Go ahead, Brandy.
We can't hear you. You got bad feedback.
You got a
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm still getting a hum through there.
Yeah, get away from Paris.
I have kind of witnessed in my own family just recently. I have a lot of unhoused neighbors, right? And I would say a majority of them recently are Cuban.
Okay, we're still getting some feedback, y'all.
I don't know. We're separate rooms.
I know where that feedback comes from.
Where is it coming
from? It ain't
me. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, let me unmute me. Okay. All right, yeah, so we get some feedback right here. And then, see, we got another call. If you'd like to speak, just simply press 1, and, you know, and you'll be on the air. Okay, but first, let's hear from Brother Isaiah. Brother Isaiah, you there?
Hey, what's up, Black family?
Hey,
General Isaiah. What's up, Black Power, y'all? What's that?
Black Power.
I hear some feedback noise in the background.
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out now.
It ain't me. I muted myself and it was still going on.
Let me try to mute.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah,
what it is, it's the Brandy and Brother Che. Yeah, I think you guys are too close to each other, man. Yeah, because that's what happens because we've had this problem before, and I think you got to get about 25, 50 feet apart from one another.
What's the show about tonight?
With the show, but tonight is Brother Isaiah. You're going to love it, man. You know how we go in Black politics and Black power. We're having an in-depth conversation in regards to the history of Black politics, the history of the Black sellouts, the mindset of the Yasa bosses and how it evolved from the plantation system. We're talking about the recall election of governor or selection of the governor of California. And we're talking about this kumbaya ass-scratching, chicken-pecking Uncle Tom by the name of Larry Alders and his conservative bullshit, which is counterproductive to Black advancement. We also are mentioning Uncle Tom Bradley and his lack of regard for the Black community and his 20 years as mayor of Los Angeles. And, of course, as you know, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, is out there campaigning for Gavin Newsom because she used to be the Attorney General of California and used to be the U.S. Senator from there. And then we're also talking about the person with the last name of Jenner.
Formerly known as Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
The motherfucker's a UFO now. Unidentified.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So,
who we got on the phone, General? He said you told somebody they were on hold or something.
This person there, is calling out of California, and if they want to speak on air, all they simply have to do is press 1. And we definitely appreciate, you know, the input to the show as well, too. Okay.
Right.
So, therefore, Brother Isaiah, just to bring you up to speed, Larry Elder, man, is an ass-scratching Negro who's a lawyer out of Los Angeles, right?
Okay.
Now, this bastard goes out there and states that, you know, police brutality does not exist. And keep in mind is that he was in Los Angeles at the time. Police brutality does not exist, okay? And the Los Angeles Police Department, man, has been killing black folk, man, beating the shit out of a man out of the years that I know of. And then, of course, I want to give respect to the
He probably lives like far away out in the suburb somewhere.
Hold on, Brother Isaiah, you're gonna love this. This fool claims he's from South Central Los Angeles, okay, but in actuality lives on the west side of LA. Near the Crenshaw District, if not in the Crenshaw District. And of course that's near Leimert Park in the Baldwin Hills. And then keep in mind, though, too, that in Los Angeles at one time, they didn't allow black people to live in a section of L.A. called Hollywood. Because if you was up there, you better have been somebody's maid, chauffeur, ass scratcher, bed wench, or what have you. Because the L.A.
still
to this day. Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
General, is it true that the people who come to own the property of Hollywood scam some black people for the property?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, what's that story?
That
somebody told me that.
Yeah, brother. It was because there were all that area used to be a ranch at one time. You know what I mean? And keep in mind, a damn ranch.
And they scammed the brothers and sisters out of their shit.
You see what I'm saying? And then movie making had started
in
New York City. Oh,
they
indeed.
Are.
You know,
are.
Yeah, indeed.
They
you
they
know, so therefore, when you are in those areas, like when you're in Beverly Hills, which is its own separate city, okay, but Hollywood, Benedict Canyon, North Hollywood, Woodland Hills, Encino, all of that is in Angeltown, okay? But keep in mind, that's where L.A.'s elite lives. And all you clowns there at 5555 Melrose Avenue, those of you in the Screen Directors Guild who might have property
give them the magic
there,
words, brother.
Yeah, all you go out there and do those adult films, making your quote-unquote audition, laying up with Weinstein and all of that. And we mean this from the bottom of our hearts when we tell you this is Screen Actors Guild and the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences. Two words that we definitely mean. Fuck you.
Yeah, three words.
Fuck you.
No, I was about to say.
And this message was brought to you by FrontlineCampaign.org. Once again, this was brought to you by FrontlineCampaign.org.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And
we're going to keep on.
Yep.
Yes, sir. And then for those who are listening, we also are looking for sponsors through Frontline Campaign, Black News, Shabaka's Black Experience, and what have you. Our producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D, may he rest in power. You know what I'm saying?
Rest
he is with the ancestors right now, because without him, this podcast would not be possible. We appreciate all of our callers. We appreciate all our critics. And we love our critics because the more hate mail that
we
you
definitely
send
will
us.
Most of our critics, we be on the revolution mail because I'm my lord. We'd be calling it in, you know.
The ass scratch and the yasa box. Okay, and we understand that you're sick in the head. We understand that you've been through the ma'afa, as Dr. Marimba Ani has described it in her research, where disaster is so bad it is beyond description. And also, too, it is theorized that the hurricanes that they do have that go through the north of Mexico, through the Gulf of Mexico, that goes through Cuba, that goes through the Dominican Republic and Haiti and Louisiana and all through the south and Florida, It is rumored that the ancestors. Yeah, that is the spirit of the ancestors. You know, exercising their revenge is because the transatlantic slave trade, it was perhaps some of the most brutal and most barbaric.
Black Holocaust, brother. It was the Black Holocaust.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And as Brother Che has stated so eloquently, the other groups, you have to go hold your own nuts now. Because we need some specifically for the descendants of slaves here.
Tangible 2021 right now. $103 trillion. $100 trillion.
Yes,
we need ours in green paperback stacks, like the COVID relief. Just cut us a check. You know, we got you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Indeed.
You don't have to cut it all at once. You can do it in installments, but cut the goddamn check.
Yeah.
Oh, and
$3,000 a month. That's all we need. We just need $3,000 a month, man. That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all. Just cut the damn check. Just cut the damn check.
Yeah, exactly. You see. And then Sleepy Joe Biden, you know, you could barely understand what the hell he's talking about.
And I changed
his
name to Sleepy Joe because he sure is looking creepy.
Sleepy Joe.
He never said nothing on those daggone TV teleprompter things. Like he just translated those, so he kept himself quiet. And so as Chankin Harris, so she didn't say shit even.
Kamala.
I guess they all staying quiet.
Oh yeah. Oh yes, sir.
Hey,
what's
the name of that drunk that was real stupid in the Seven Drawers?
Dopey Joe, Sleepy Joe, what have it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's an old saying from South Central Los Angeles that states, never apologize for how you honestly feel. Right. Now, one thing about the dope, okay, when he was in office, the motherfucker told you exactly how he felt. You see what I'm saying? And I ain't mad at the dump.
Yeah.
Not in the
least.
And then,
it's the enemy. Let the enemy speak like the enemy. I'd rather the enemy than the motherfucker. Hey, I'm your friend. Motherfuckers going in that motherfucking them hidden compartments in his house. All of a sudden, he put that cloak on, and he with the Klan somewhere in the lair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. That's why they had to cover their face.
Exactly.
Because they go back to being the police, the doctor, the lawyer.
Yep.
All these institutions in this country have been infiltrated by white supremacists. Or rather, they ain't been infiltrated. They've always been white supremacists.
That's what it always been.
They always been infiltrated.
Yeah.
No, I say infiltrated because the FBI released a report back in 2006 that said that 80 to 90% of law enforcement departments across this country have been infiltrated by white supremacists. And when I read it, I was like, they're already white supremacists. They just calling it out because
they
have no
created choice. By white supremacists.
Right.
They were created by white supremacists. They weren't infiltrated by white supremacists. They were created by them.
No, but that's what the FBI article or whatever report said.
Infiltration. The propaganda. The propaganda, prostitution, and paperwork.
Yes, sir. Indeed. Brother Patrick is right about that. It's because, as we all know, the police departments evolved from the slave patrollers. You see what I mean?
Right.
And particularly,
race forces in the goddamn one, but Navy and the thing on,
and the military, too.
Yes, indeed.
So they
you know what I'm saying? Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
In the military,
that's why we call them the patty rollers.
Hey, Brother Patrick, thank you for being on our show today on the real, man. We appreciate you, brother.
No problem, man. It's a great discussion.
Oh, yes, sir, yes, man. Sir. And by all means, brother, you know, call us in on a weekly basis,
yes,
man.
Call in.
Follow us on at Twitter at Shabaka Capital EXP. Definitely hit our like page on Facebook, Frontline.
Yeah, go to frontlinecampaign.org.
And definitely check us out on StreamYard, you know, for Frontline Campaigns. And definitely hit our like page on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook. You see? And what it is that we're trying
to real black
unify all black media, you know what I mean, is because, you know, we're the only ones that can do it, you know. And then, and we had, and you recall too, Brother Isaiah, well, we had some coon.
No, hold up. We don't want to unify all black media. But there's certain black media we should not have at all. That's doing us a disservice. Like Roland Martin, for instance, Unfiltered. No, I don't want to have unity with that. But the new black media, which we are,
the
underground, media.
Yeah, so I stand corrected on that indeed. You know what I'm saying? It's because when I look at this sack of shit by the name of Elders, over the years I looked at his garbage. I watched his dumbass TV shows where he played the judge and all of this. And this man has a law degree. And just like Cop Mala has a law degree. But why aren't they doing things like Johnny Cochran did, okay, that took care of the black community pro bono? Exactly.
You know what?
It's so loud a long time ago.
Harris, laid up in the bed every night with, so she don't care.
Willie Brown.
Yeah, because Willie Brown was seeing her, and that then led to the former mayor of San Francisco getting a divorce. Oh, and by the way, getting back to Gavin Newsom. He was the campaign manager of a friend of his, and I'm talking about you, Governor Newsom. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Is that you were the campaign manager of a friend of yours that was running for mayor of San Francisco, and you had an affair with his wife. You see, so that only goes to show that you're a piece of shit. You see what I'm saying?
Damn. You talk about Pelosi's nephew.
Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Yeah, that's exactly who I'm talking about. The owner of damn wine vineyards up there in Napa County, and then also to, you know, wine vineyards go all over California.
Yeah,
that's
what I want to recall his dad. He sit up there partying in Napa Valley after he done told everybody to stay home and wear your mask. The same shit Hancock did here when he told everybody to stay home and went to Mississippi.
Excuse me, General. I got one thing I want to say.
Yes, sir.
In warfare, there's something that I notice that the devil does. And
What's that, brother? That
character assassination, brother. Look what they did to Bill Cosby, man.
Look what they did
to Bill Cosby. Yeah. They shattered that man. They destroyed that man.
That was a political move right there.
And since we're talking about black politics and black power, black power just deals with black structures. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Black unity. Because without unity, we ain't got no power, man. You know, in the right politics.
Some people we just cannot unify with.
But what I'm saying, the A-alike, B-alike, C-alike, man. Those that we can't align with, we need to align with fast. Just like the brothers on the air right now, Brother Patrick. You know, people who are A-like-minded need to come together because we need think tanks, man. For real, this is part of
think tanks.
We need more think tanks.
Frontlinecampaign.org.
And also, what we need is a damn militia too. Yeah, I said it.
We already got that. You gotta know the right people to know about that stuff in your individual cities. Because everybody don't have that knowledge.
Absolutely.
But those that do,
yes, sir.
We got them. Like, we got them out here. You know, they say ain't no niggas out in Colorado, but the niggas that is out here, there's some of them that's about it, and ready to get it up with this cracker.
I think that there are people out there that want to do stuff. I think the organization is still needed.
I mean,
because, you know, things happen, and while we have a lot of people out there with, I'm gonna try to be careful for the sake of this channel. There's a lot of people out there with some skills and that kind of thing, but then things happen, and we can't call on them because we don't have the organizational structure. There are people
doing
stuff to us, and
that's
murder,
where we the people come in. We got an organization we're working on creating right now.
Those people are still walking the earth, right? We got people who committed murder against us. So I just think the organization is.
Yeah, I agree with the organization has to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take Two always says organize. That's what Take Two said.
Unity, more black unity. That's all we need.
That's the right there, brother. You're right, brother.
Exactly.
Years ago, when Hugo Chavez came, Fidel Castro came to New York to go to the UN. He stayed in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed back because he felt more comfortable around black people. Right?
Yeah, that's because he identified as black Cuban.
Right. Right. That's what he said.
He identified as black. The price of gas went up and people in New York couldn't really afford heating oil, Hugo Chavez out of Venezuela offered to give black people, not anybody else, he offered to give black people. And this goes back to our earlier. This goes back to our earlier conversation where I was saying, you know, we have to be careful not to focus on those who may treat us funny. Because if it's Cubans, I think what should have been done is we should have had our own envoy that spoke for us to the head of state of a lot of these countries. So as a matter of fact, so Castro, instead of they can have whatever relationship they want with the United States, but we didn't have the strategic foresight and we didn't have the organization to send 3 or 4 people that represented us to go speak with them and on our behalf.
We didn't practice proper diplomacy.
Right. We don't have an international or a foreign
diplomat. We need a diplomat.
Exactly. People who can go and speak on our behalf anywhere in the world. So if we want to have a different relationship with Ethiopia or whatever, we have people that can go speak
black diplomats
with them.
Inner city black diplomats, brother. That's exactly what you're saying. Inner city black diplomats. Go ahead, brother.
So this is my point, if we had that, it wouldn't matter if there's a few Cubans here that don't like black people or whatever. That shouldn't even be our focus, really. We should be dealing with the head of that country directly, or at least officials within that country, and negotiating with them and having those kind of diplomatic relations. That's how you get things done, right?
Okay.
Not fighting with the few people that come here, but dealing directly with the powers of that country, right? So when Hugo Chavez said, hey, we want to sell oil at a reduced price, we should have had our people go down there and talk to them and try to negotiate and see what we can do instead of just saying the United States speaks for us.
Brother Patrick, can I tell you who could do that real easily right now and they don't want to do shit for nobody but flash on the TV? Them damn rappers, man. Them entertainers. They need to step up. They got the money. They got the fucking bread, bro. Where they could go and step to these governments.
But they don't have enough from a real. They don't, because they don't have enough resources, because they signed a contract, because you know how so-called pink white sister supremacy are, because they signed a contract on the dotted line. Like, you cannot, if you like, let's sell out, and like on you know, all the time they sell out. So if you reach the contract, you cannot do nothing. So all these black antennas right now.
Signs your soul away.
We can't
count on people just because they have money. If we have to look at it this way, if there's a young rapper out there who's doing something, we can't expect that person, he's buying Lambos, he's got women, you know what I mean? Like, he's over there doing things. We can't expect him to somehow be Malcolm X. Like, we got to stop that.
That's not what I'm expecting, Brother Patrick. That's not what I'm expecting at all. But what I'm saying is that's what needs to happen. That's not what I'm expecting to happen, but that's what needs to happen. There needs to be a shift in the dynamics in this whole entertainment world, man, where people need to be on their conscious tip again.
I think what can happen.
I do understand, but sometimes rappers, all they just rap about money and all the material stuff. So they're not going to really come out here and they're not really trying to get back.
The rapper self-destruct.
I know.
We have to allow
and they're never trying to give back
Go ahead, Patrick.
Judging them is counterproductive. You're making judgments on somebody that might be 23 years old. He may be the right person at 43.
Right.
You know, he's young. Right. So I think riding them off, it may be a bit short-sighted. They're just young, and they're not there yet. That's fine. But there are some people that are. There are people like Ice Cream.
Yeah, like Jay-Z, man. He's talking all this black community, black power, black God shit. I'm just like, well, do some shit, man.
That's
it.
What happened when Ice Cube tried to do something? Black people came down and slapped him around. Now, whether you liked his plan or not,
He was trying to do
what he thought was the best thing, is trying to negotiate with both sides and see if we could get something. And what happened? Mm-hmm. He got slapped down. Black people, you this and that, and blah, blah, blah.
You're right about that, bro.
Did we ever step to Ice Cube and say, look, man, we have a plan here. We think you might be able to help or see if what you think about this. And go and sit down and negotiate with the man. We got to be ready to
do that. That's why we need our inner city black diplomats right now. That's part of our tangible plan, and we need to organize and build up diplomats within all our organizations, just like Frontline Campaign, you know, on frontlinecampaign.org. We need diplomats, man, and we're trying to be diplomats
and
be a voice on this platform right now.
And we're probably going to have to pay for them because, listen, I mean, they have to have the mindset to work on our behalf, yes.
Right.
But at the same time, they have to be funded. I mean, they got to take planes. They got to get plane rides and the hotels. Like, we got to – and it doesn't take a lot of money.
Right.
A lot of people chip in, right? It doesn't take a lot of money to send somebody to Ethiopia to meet with their – to talk about a few items that we may have on the table, or the Caribbean or South America somewhere, to meet with some officials on our behalf. It doesn't take a lot of money. There's a lot of people. That's what, $10, $5 for just a few hundred people? I mean, it doesn't take a lot, but we just got
to
work on it,
right?
That's the problem. It just hasn't been organized.
Hey, this is Israel. Can I say something real quick?
Yes, go ahead, brother Israel.
All right, so I'm feeling everything y'all are saying, and I just wanted to propose another angle to this because I think – the diplomat thing is a really good idea. And I was just wanting to propose, like, how we would classify, because our people fit into different classifications. And one really important one as like the demographic of spiritual, you know, people who are of our culture but are also have a spiritual orientation of whatever sort. You know what I'm saying? And so in some instances, you know, the spiritual aspect supersedes the cultural, you know, whereas in the sense of, you know, for instance, you know, one thing that I can relate to a lot of my brother, revolutionary brothers on and always have is the fact that, you know, a lot of my brothers, they say, well, you know, I don't like the way the Bible preaches that it's okay to have slaves. And what I try to make sure they understand is that it doesn't preach that. It actually tells the exact opposite when you read into the books that mention slaves. It actually says that, you know, slave masters are supposed to treat their slaves the same way they would want to be treated by God. You know, as a, and that's just an example. You know, so, you know, there's certain angles that I can definitely relate to as far as my color orientation goes, but considering that I'm a devout man of God, you know, the principles that are spiritual, those come, a lot of them come first to me, but human justice is on the top of the list of anything godly, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just really just determining how we're going to propose it to the masses, you know, be most efficient.
Can I say one thing to you, Israel? I just want to say one. Do you think that this is the spiritual battle going on right now in this revolutionary war that we got going on, this political war? Isn't that a spiritual battle against principalities and powers that are abominations and things that are unnatural, just like, you know, what's his name, Jenner, and all this other shit?
What I've been trying to tell brothers is, like, I believe that that's the only way we're going to, like, make it. If we're fighting an uphill battle without God or some supernatural force on our side, we're doomed. Like, you know, there's no way we could win with firepower
or something like that. Brother, that's what we preaching. You are God.
But what I'm
God
saying
is a little God,
yeah,
a little
saying,
God in you. So we as
yeah,
people need to manifest that God. Replace the system of racism and white supremacy with an actual system of justice. That's what we on.
Right.
That's a revolution. That's coup d'etat. That's what we're on. So we're the revolutionary.
So can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead,
brother. All right. So do you think that it's up to us as far as what does that look like if we're as a people
like
in our own
the collective masses of black people across the world just say enough is enough of this system, and that system is racism, white supremacy. It's a global system. When that goes the south away, we'll actually have a system of justice, true justice,
right.
Not no fairly shit, but some real justice,
right.
Meaning that no one is mistreated by the color of their skin, and those that need the most constructive help get it.
That's the most.
That's
right.
The code
that's
that we're on. And I feel, I just want to add, I feel if we do that as a mass, it will better our situation on this planet. For real, because it's up to us to restore justice to this planet. It's been nothing but chaos and confusion and destruction since this caucasoid came out the cave. So we banished him out of Kemet before that.
Yeah, facts. So can I add something to that? Can I say something? So in knowing that, because I don't disagree with you, that it's going to take all of our minds, you know, awakening at the same time or mass awakening. But what does that look like? Do you feel like it has to be something along some lines outside of something spiritual, or Does it have to be based on a specific spiritual system, or does it just have to be us realizing that we have an oppressor and that there are principalities and high places and whatnot that and all of that that are opposing us, and then we organize whether, you know, we're of this religion or that religion? Because keep in mind, the religious thing might be an uphill battle too if it has to be one way or another. You know, I think that we'd be better off if we just stuck with the cultural and left the religious part out at first and come up with diplomatic people like y'all were saying that can cater to each person's, like, spiritual orientation, and then kind of, you know, somehow get them all to correlate, you know what I mean? Because otherwise it's, you know what I mean? Because otherwise it's going to fall on some deaf ears in some areas, you know? Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's
well,
where
I got an answer to that. Brother Israel. Check this out.
Right.
Would you say that somebody oppressing you is a demonic thing? Is that the spirit
not
of
at
evil
all
at
but,
work?
But I mean, like,
it is the spirit of evil at work. Somebody who's oppressing you, hold on real quick. Somebody who's oppressing you, that's the spirit of evil at work. And there's three parts
right
of man that can't be separated. That's the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, and that makes up man. Mind, body, soul.
Right.
Mental, physical, spiritual.
Right.
And the spirit,
right,
you know, it's
points
the metaphysical things, you know, the essence of things, you know, it's true meaning. Because if you say, you know, like, for example, you could say, you know, a spirit is a presence. And everywhere we go, we carry a presence with us. And what we're
right
seeing is when the police show up, there's a negative, I wouldn't even say negative, there's a diabolical presence that is present at that time.
Right.
To so much to the extent that they go and victimize the people who supposedly they're sworn to protect.
Right.
Right, but you got to keep in mind, if I may jump in there on that, is that
yes,
you got to keep in
first
mind is that the police are policy enforcers. You see what I'm saying? They're not elected officials.
Oh, and all that.
Okay, now, when it comes to law enforcement, when it comes to law enforcement, the only elective official of any damn thing would be the sheriff of a county. But municipal police departments, these are policy enforcers. You see what I mean? And then, of course,
and they're promoted,
you know,
by the mayor. The mayor appoints them.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Exactly.
And then keep in mind, and of course we do know of how they evolved, is because these here were the paddy rollers or the slave patrollers. So quite naturally, of course, they have passed down from generation to generation that mindset of having no regard for us as human beings. And yeah, Madam Vice President, Kamala Harris, I'm talking about you, ma'am, in the murder of Mario Woods by the San Francisco Police Department, and which you were the Attorney General of California, if not the District Attorney of San Francisco, and you could have used your power office to go in there to have them bastards arrested and thrown into jail for murder in the first degree, because it was clearly intentional. I mean, the dude only weighed 147 pounds.
They shot him over 20 times.
Yes, sir. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they knew. And then when you look at the video, and you can see the way that they position themselves in a half circle so they would not shoot each other, that goes to prove the fucking intent right there. I mean, they just should have went on and whooped his ass, hit him with the taser. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you see what I mean? You know, that's what they had their nightsticks for. Come on, man. You know, and plus that your dudes had on bulletproof vests anyway. Oh, well, he had a knife. You know, he could have cut me and all this shit. Yeah, and your ass is 6'2", in shape, tipping a scale at 220, 200 at the lightest, and this dude, man, is only 147 pounds and only 5'7". So,
what about that brother that they shot in the back? What about that brother that they shot in the back? I think it was in Ohio.
Here's the thing. Yes. And it's going to, these things are going to continue. The question is, what are we going to do about it? I mean, I think a lot of times what we do, and I'll include myself, I think collectively, when I start talking about men, when I say us, I think what happens is we get caught up in talking about, you know, this or that and say, hey, they did this. Hey, they're doing that to us, blah, blah, blah. They've been doing that since we've been here. If we're just now figuring out, but we haven't figured out yet, that this is going to continue, then we might as well give up. Like, we know this by now. I think one of the things that keeps us from moving forward is we talk about it so that we don't have to do anything about it. Because we know it has to be handled. What keeps us from trying to handle it? Fear. Right. That's my thought. I think it's a collective fear from really getting out here and really trying to do something about it. So the easiest thing to do is to just talk about it a lot. Hey, can you believe they did this? Hey, can you believe they did that? Look at what they did over here. Look at what they did. And they're going to keep doing it.
Right, that's talking about the problem, not the solution. I get what you're saying, brother.
Right.
Go ahead.
I wish there was one white person who would be totally honest. That would set us up, and we would have to look at each other and decide what we're going to do. Meaning we came out and said, y'all shot that brother, man, in the back and blah, blah. I wish there was a white cop who said, yeah, we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again.
Oh, well, there's plenty of YouTube videos.
That's why we need Trump in office again, man. That's why we need Trump, man. That's why we need Trump in office again.
About how he honestly felt.
All
that shit that came from out of his mouth, look at the teleprompter. He just revoke his own shit. He talk about his own speeches. Like he be sometimes shot in his foot or shit that he be saying. I was like, damn, did we just say this shit?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I want somebody to say that, and then I want them to turn to us and say, we're going to keep doing it. What are you going to do about it? And I want to see what our
response. Right. Okay. Sure. And we do need to have some advice.
Shut down all of the talk. That pretty much will shut down all of the talk on our end.
Brother, let's turn back the hands of history a little bit. Based on, you know, what your brother was saying, you know, we definitely appreciate him, you know, calling in. He asked a good question. As we all know, now, this is for us old bastards right here in General Sekou. We know about that. There was a man in the year 1966, okay, in Oakland, California, who was a law student, and he had set up an organization that police. Okay, no, sir. He was murdered in 1989. Yeah, his name was Huey Percy Newton. Okay. And he had brought up the concept called revolutionary suicide versus reactionary suicide. Now, reactionary suicide, as we all know, like what these motherfuckers did in 1929 when the stock market crashed. Oh, shit, I'm a broke motherfucker. Hey, let me go jump out the motherfucking window. Okay, but in Newton's memoirs, I believe he had wrote something called To Die for the People. Okay, and he did it with the spirit of the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, believe it or not. Mm. When you check out the 10-point program, yes, sir. And then when you check out the 10 wants that they had, and one of the things that Newton had quoted is that when you look at the, not the Constitution of the United States, but the Declaration of Independence, they clearly stated that when a government goes whack, not only do the people have a right to change it, they have a duty to do it. Okay, so when this man went out there and exercised this, and then he was declared a terrorist. They're doing the same shit of what these Proud Boys is out here doing. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I got a strong point I want to make real quick that I read on the other day.
Yes, sir.
The drug problem in the United States of America. Before, when it was just black, brown people, you know, that were involved in the drug trade, the answer was always prison, right? But now that the drug is affecting white folk real bad, guess what the solution is?
Rehabilitation.
Hey, that's
ain't that some shit? They gonna get some on the population therapy.
Yeah, it is.
With them, it's true. And but and with us
now it's a therapeutic programs, rehabilitation,
right.
Chemical abuse counseling, all this
and
shit.
And we don't
ability
right,
for that shit.
That shit is crazy. And we don't have that. It feels like on one of us that they will take us assume that they are definitely gonna take us to jail if we do some kind of drugs or system on us. So that shit, man.
Oh yeah. And it's very, very interesting that Elders is in that talking about that with his ass scratching, Yasser Boston ass, is because in 1990 at the height of the epidemic, you know, of narcotics in Los Angeles, a councilman by the name of Julian Dixon, along with Maxine Waters, had wanted to have a congressional investigation off into it, and it was an LAPD officer who is dead now, who had stated that, it was a governmental plot, and it was called Operation Pegasus, and he said that he had been shot at twice before because, you know, he was exposing it. And then when he went up there and testified, you know, before Julian Dixon and Maxine Waters at the time in the 1990s during the Clinton regime, he came up dead. And then the cold part about it is that the investigation was brought to an abrupt halt, and guess who pulled the plug on the investigation? Y'all going to love this. Janet Reno, who is the Attorney General up under Bill Clinton. So let that sink in. Yeah, see what I'm saying? So definitely got to, you know, let that dead sink in. Okay, and I see, you know, Brother Patrick, you know, he had dropped off, but we definitely appreciate him calling in, and he's always more than welcome to do so.
Yeah, more
and,
welcome.
That was positive. How did he hear about us, Shabaka? Did he tell you?
Okay, no, it didn't hear, but however, you know, Brother Chad and myself, we always promote the episode. I promote it on Twitter, and we promote it on Facebook as well, too.
Man,
and
y'all doing a good job, bro, because if random people are just calling and they coming up so positive, that's because they've been listening to our show, bro.
Right.
Yeah, yes, sir.
We're waiting on our
like you said, though, brother, we need more, Yeah, we need more.
We had that call in. 17 Clippers.
Yeah,
17 Clippers. I told you that was an agent.
Somebody called in.
No, we was doing a stream yard, Brother Isaiah, and dude was talking about the week is full of hate. And all this old type of shit. So
Lord,
we're talking
here
we go. Phone number. So he was invited to call in, but old boy didn't want man, you know. So
right.
I guess we did something right.
I'm so glad that I wasn't on here. If I was on here, I'm definitely going to say it.
He had found the show on YouTube somehow. And he was commenting on the vaccine.
He lied out of
that. That we were bumming on the vaccine.
Man.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
How we doing on time today? We doing a full 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he set it up for 2 hours now.
Yes,
yeah,
2 hours
now.
Yes.
2 hours now.
I think we're down to about 45 more minutes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we almost in overtime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
overtime.
We only got 30 minutes.
So please don't hang up. Yeah, you know,
don't
once
hang
we
up,
go
y'all.
Off into the over.
They kicked us off.
Yeah.
They kicked me off earlier. Is Brother Israel with us?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I think
you're okay,
here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Brother's still with us. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can hear you, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
man,
so therefore too.
Stop, brother.
Yes, sir.
Brandy wanted to say something. She didn't get to say it earlier.
On the code system.
Something
about what you got there.
Huh? She wants to get back on. Do you hear her?
I'm hearing feedback.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
let me
hear some feedback.
That feedback is horrible, man. Y'all sound like y'all in a radioactive fucking attic field. Shit. That's all that brain power y'all holding.
Yup, that force field, the black force field.
Yeah, that's that brain power. That
I'm
obtaining.
Right. Yup.
Or could be coming out of Silicon Game Valley.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. Hey, General Paris, I mean, and General Chewbacca, man, I think I'm an exit stage left even, man. Chewbacca Paris,
oh, you
don't
leave
them?
Hold on
okay,
a second
I make
here,
my
yeah, hold on one second here. Let me check the board here. See what's going on here. You know, because the... Okay, is Brandy... Yeah, okay, Brandy's still with us, you know.
Yeah, she's still on here.
I want to say about the Cuba thing. Me and Jesse Whitney, I got family there with my house recently there. In that valley, and there's a Cuban family, the Afro-Cubans, that are blacker than Jesse, and they're themselves as black and Cuban, and they represent light as well. They don't know where to be placed, but they just know that that their skin color is what factors in the place in the voting rank. You know what I mean? And that's all I wanted to say earlier. And just check us out on the and great show, Chewbacca. Gentlemen, y'all really made me think tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, first is yeah, we always appreciate your input, but you see, but when you look at this Willie Lynch doctrine, right, okay, is that Lynch had did say back in 1712, keep in mind 1712, you keep them divided on the miscegenation of the old South, you keep them divided male against female, young and old. And if you implement these practices properly, you will keep these Negroes divided for the next 300 years. And this is 2021, and he said this here back in 1812, so we don't have to do no math. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's quite obvious, you see. And then also, too, is so all our haters out there, we do love you. We really do. You see, it's because when you crumb bomb on us and send me your hate mail and all that other type of bullshit, you know, they're just telling us that
we always get those criticism. Right, we always get those criticism.
Indeed, you know what I'm saying? And so, and if y'all don't like this podcast, great, beautiful, that's your business. It's not that we really give a good goddamn because we're going to do it with or without.
Sure don't.
Period.
Right.
You see?
But if we're going to keep on doing this.
There's a lot of shit out there that I hate, but I ain't going to sit up there and call up your podcast and hate on you and all that old type of shit. For what? You know, I got better things to do with my energy. You
see
what I mean?
Yeah, that's a waste of time. I was going to another platform just because I hate this platform. I don't like y'all. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, brother,
I know too much about that.
Yeah. You know, keep in mind, brother Isaiah, you've been with us since day zero, man. You know how we get around here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we don't like throwing motherfuckers off there, but you ain't going to come up here and sit up here and disrespect this platform.
Right.
Right.
You know, imagine people trying to take you off the air from day one.
Oh, yeah.
And, decades later, and they still trying
to
take you off the air.
Shut us down, for real. Shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
They're on here.
Yeah, but it ain't going to happen. You see?
Right.
You know, it really ain't going to happen. And the reason why it's not going to happen, because, see, we don't owe this here to ourselves, black family. We don't owe it to the generations after us. We owe it to the ancestors before us who made the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, look at that time.
And also our ancestors said, right,
You know, let's look at all those brave warriors, man, that fought these damn colonizers on the continent, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. who was trying to retrieve their loved ones. But however, as they say, history is always written in the name of the quote-unquote victor. You know, for so far, you ass scratches, yassa bosses, kumbaya motherfuckers. Go fuck yourself. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, you know, like your Larry Elders. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And fuck you too, Mr. Elders. And I want to be very, very perfectly clear on that. You know, is because you are sitting up there pissing on people's heads, telling them it's rain, and you say there's no such thing as police brutality. Exactly. You see? And things of that nature right there, you see? And then also, too, you know, for all you ass scratchers and coons out there, you know what I mean? We enjoy your hate mail. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You see? But we don't hate you. We understand your affliction. We understand your illness.
Right.
We understand the internalized hatred that was put onto you to the, by the slave master. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then and
call we,
the slave master.
Sure,
yeah,
we're not
and
teaching
call the slave
we're
master.
Just, we're teaching the real deal. We're teaching the real black truth. And they just don't want to hear it because they just want to hear what the
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Can
yes,
what
sir,
the oppressor say? Oh. Okay.
All right, so I kind of want to delve back into what we were talking about a minute ago about,
yes,
you know, how we're going to go about, you know, the diplomacy and getting all our people on the same page. Like, I think that's a good idea, and I think that's something that we should run with, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like that's something we should really put an effort towards. I feel it's a great idea. I can't remember who brought it up, but, you know, I mean, I'd be willing to definitely devote myself towards doing what I can in, you know, the black spiritual-based community and, you know, getting everybody that I can on board and start with Denver and just work my way from there because, you know, that would be somewhat easy for me. You
well,
know what I mean?
Andrew, I'm running for mayor of Denver in 2023.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah, so you know, let's try to get the brothers, you know, elected. You know what I mean?
Get Brother Pence elected, y'all. Vote for him.
Yes,
you
right,
have a reason
right.
to vote. You won't be wasting your vote with me.
Exactly.
So
you
know let me ask you a question,
right.
And try to bear with me because I'm not too politically inclined. But what's your opinion on Mayor Hancock?
He's a douche. He's a bag. He got to go. He's a sellout. He is a shopkeeper for white interests.
Mm-hmm.
He's switching people like trash every week. He should be ashamed of himself. He's from the hood. He's from the Five Points. He's from the East Side. And it's a shame how he does his own people.
He claims to be.
Michael ain't
right. He claims to be.
We're being gentrified, ethnically cleansed out of, we used to be historically black areas. We have to fight for historical leverage and acknowledgement, and we don't even live in the district anymore because it's become so expensive. It's become a mile-high income city under Hand Coon. I call him Hand Coon because he's a straight up coon, and we all know him, all the natives. We know him,
right.
And we know he should be doing better than this. And he's been mayor for almost a decade.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the first person I heard say that, and I never knew why. Because, like I said, I'm not politically inclined, but I've heard other brothers and sisters from the hood in Denver say the exact same thing about him.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one time. I was on a post on Facebook,
and some dudes were talking about him, and one of his cousins or something jumped on there like, y'all ain't talking about my cousin like that. I know you are.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, we talking about your cousin. You right. know, it was funny. But,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, yep. man. I've never got, like I said, I'm not politically inclined. I watched him on the news when he was talking about COVID, and that was about
yeah.
it.
Did you watch him when he called all them crackers to stay home, and then he left and went to Mississippi to see his daughter, and Mississippi
that was one thing.
COVID.
And what was more crazy is when they were doing the newscast, half of them were coming up with their mask on, and half of them wasn't. And they were all
right.
running on the same microphone.
Right.
Right. Just look retarded.
They didn't
like,
have the mic
okay, right.
That's what I said before. Like, this whole pandemic shit ain't real. It's not real. They just want to put the fear in.
Pandemic, man. No, that,
yeah,
no,
the
that, yeah, that, that's what it is.
Pandemic.
Epidemic. Yeah. Yeah. You see, and then keep in mind is that they keep doing all these other variants, you know what I'm saying? And since we did cover all our stuff on the agenda tonight, we can go up here and have open mic for a minute right now. And then the cold part about it is what Brother was saying in regard to these rappers and what have you. Now, the thing is that you got to understand. If you're producing your own material, that's beautiful, but it's very hard to produce your own material.
Right.
And then what it happens is when they go out there to Hollywood, they sign those contracts which limits them. You see what I mean?
Right.
And just like Dave Chappelle said that I had to, and just like what Dave Chappelle said, is that, yeah, they want to sit up there and pay him to wear a dress and all this old shit. But they got a problem. Yeah,
right.
But they got a problem using a term to describe people of internal agenda. But at the same token, it's okay to get up there and use the word nigga. You see what I mean?
Or even call somebody who wears a dress what they are, which is Z-Bag. You know, like... You know,
they call that transphobia and homophobia now, brother. They gonna hit you with that as soon as you say those words.
And guess what, y'all?
What
get ready for this. Get ready for this, y'all. They trying to LGBT in the office. Like, they're going to find somebody, you know, like a transgender up there in the politics now. So, you know, the LGBT is going to do some moves up in the politician.
Look what's happening in California. Particularly in California. You see? So, therefore,
like,
so you got this brain-dead Negro, Larry Elders, running as a Republican.
And we need to fight this fight, family. Crazy.
You see, because they cannot reproduce, you know what I mean? And then, too, is that when they push this bullshit over the Cartoon News Network, Fox News, all
of
the time.
Yeah, it's on the cartoons now, Black family. It's on the cartoons. Now, all of a sudden,
it's like two dads
up in the cartoons. It's not the mom or dad anymore. It's like
two dads or two mommies.
Right,
yeah.
It's like two moms or two dads up in there. I'm like, what the hell?
the kid's not
supposed to be looking like that. And, you know, the kid's not supposed to be watching that. Like, no, I'm sure. And when I was coming up, the cartoons was about, like, Batman, Superman, and all that. Like, you know, it wasn't any black superheroes on TV. And so, like, we had, like, Transformers and all that, but not this, though. But this is, like, too much. Like, what the hell?
Hey, my brothers, I hate to interrupt, but I got to bounce, man. It's about to be lights out up in here.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for coming on. Come on anytime.
Yeah,
y'all have a blessed evening. This is Yeah, this is Ms. Sarah Sun Israel. It's been a pleasure talking with y'all. Y'all have a blessed evening.
You too,
you too,
brother. Thank you for calling in.
Peace out.
And please call in the future as well.
Call in anytime.
For sure. Yep, for sure.
All right. And then also, too, okay, so it looks like it's just...
That's been crazy.
Yeah.
Like, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
like,
it
come
is
on,
crazy.
Like, I did not see it. I didn't see it.
It's crazy how these niggas just allow them biting to say F you and not doing shit for us. After we supposedly put him in office.
Right.
So, like I said, like he's been sleeping. Like you said, it's like he was been doping.
Oh, yeah. And
same
then
thing
also, too, I just want to, okay, and I just want to talk briefly about this brother passing away by the name of the movie actor Michael K. Williams. You know, he was on The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
He died at
the
age of 54. His name was
from The Wire. His name was Omar.
He was born.
We just lost somebody that was even more close to home than that. This queen by the name of Kenyatta, man. She rests in power. She was
a strong advocate
for black citizens in Denver. She did a lot of
revolutionary
stuff.
Okay, man, that brother rest in power indeed. Yeah. May he rest in
power
indeed.
Rest in power to the problem.
But you see,
to the system.
Her name
is
Kenyatta Jackson.
Okay, well, hey, our condolences to Mr. Jackson's family. You know what I'm saying?
Mrs.
Jackson.
Yeah, Mrs.
Okay. Okay. Well, definitely our condolences, you know, to the family, you know, on that. You know, very, very sad news indeed. But, however, though, getting back there to Angel Town and Hollywood, you guys already know how we feel, and we endorse and approve
the
message.
Do you have to make the public service announcement again, Tabaka?
No, sir. They got the message. They got the message, you know what I mean? And this is why we appreciate, you know, our additional callers calling in. This is why we appreciate how this platform is growing, working in conjunction with Frontline Black News and frontlinecampaign.org, and definitely, of course, working with the StreamYard with Frontline Black News, and we are coming along, and I think Mad Dr. D would have been most happy is because as per his directives, you know, that the show must go on, and the show is going to continue to go on.
We're going to keep on doing this for him. We're going to keep on doing this for Brother Mad Dr. D.
Oh, indeed.
So we're going to keep on continuing to do this show and rise up as a people. So we need a platform to rise up.
Absolutely, indeed. You know what I mean? And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Brother Chan Krumah, who is our associate producer and co-host, he will be hosting shows here on Shabaka's Black Experience Hands in the very, very near future. And I do apologize, you know, it's because I've been having some issues in my personal life that I have to deal with. It's called making a living. And I'm putting in a lot of overtime.
So we all got
your
debt, brother, Chewbacca.
Even me,
sure. I've been working.
It's always good. It's always good to hear from you, Brother Isaiah. You've been with us from day zero, man.
Yeah, we
got to
get you on Frontline Black News, Brother Isaiah.
I'd be working, brother. You know what I'm saying? Sure, they be trying to have the brothers locked up in the work.
Hey, now let me ask you this here, Brother Isaiah. Brother Isaiah, okay. I saw, man, on your Facebook page, man, that you said that they was fucking with your algorithm.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened. Yeah, I don't know what happened to my old account, man. They did something to my old
hacked.
Page.
That's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Something like that, Brother Ted. Yeah, I don't know who it was. Like you know, sure. I just had to create a dang one new one, but it's all good though. Sure,
I
mad.
Okay.
I had somebody hack my account and take over my page.
Damn. See?
And I don't know who it is.
We cannot have shit, brother.
Chinese
that's it, right? Right. The dang one.
You look like a little Chinese girl.
Probably. And then
probably,
also too, Brother Che. I'm going to put it out here, you know, as well, too, is that, okay, the groups that you and I are the administrators of, Brother Che, people are welcome to come on there. You know, we always are happy to have them. But if they are still doing commercial enterprises, group,
so you have to be invited. You just can't come on.
Right, you got to attend the Right.
And also, too, we don't mind nobody in the groups, you know, trying to make a living. We don't have a problem with that. But, hey, but you're going to have to donate to the group, you know what I mean, and spread the wealth.
Right.
Yeah. Just say so. So we're happy to have you. We appreciate your knowledge and your work and your content. But if you're up there in our group soliciting donations, hey, you're going to have to throw something our way straight out.
Right.
You know. They say because we're all out here trying to do the same thing, you know what I mean? And what have
built this platform.
Yeah.
Right, trying to build this platform
exactly.
So we can reach out. We need more think tanks and no more that sipping on the Kool-Aid coon with the sipping on the Kool-Aid coon.
That was just an earthquake, y'all.
Okay, so that according to Mexico, they do get some bad ones down there. All righty, okay.
Damn.
Okay.
And also, y'all, I want to talk about this, all this hurricanes. Like, what's up with that? Like,
that's happening.
That's what's up with
that. Yeah, that's happening
in
your record, yeah.
Right.
So you get a lot of
Ida and the Dorians and whatever name they give it. That's the ancestors. They did the same route.
Yep, the ancestors coming back. Right.
Yeah.
The ancestors.
No, yes, indeed.
The same route.
Because the places they hidden, have been major slave ports. And over the past, over the years, I mentioned the major slave ports, which was New Orleans, Louisiana.
Y'all saw right, bro.
Charleston, South Carolina.
And I would add, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey said, you could find him where? In the whirlwind. Is that a tornado? Is that a hurricane?
Indeed.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that. And you can also,
this thing called
our ancestors trying to tell us something, you know? Our ancestors are trying to say,
also,
we need to go get the white people out of here.
A governmental program known as HARP. And some say they're using HARP to control the weather.
Oh, yeah, to manipulate the weather. Because anytime that you get a place like Seattle, Washington, that has 119 degrees, you know, during last summer, something's wrong. I've been in Seattle many times in all seasons, and the most I ever getting it up to in that place is 80 degrees. But 119 degrees?
Damn, that's like Phoenix.
Dude, I will pass out.
Okay, we got 90 seconds in regular showtime, y'all. We're going to be going into overtime in about 2 minutes. You know, so if anybody wants to call in, now's the time to do it, to get off in the queue, you know, for you, because we're about to do the closing comments and what have you real soon. And also, too, you know, shout out there to Black Eye Stand Radio. Shout out there to Frontline Black News. Shout out there to Mile High News. Shout out there to New Black Knowledge.
And
all positive black media. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then also,
the underground positive black media. A propaganda.
New Black Media. That's where New Black Media.
And then we will always crumb bomb and do let it be known on the air. We will always crumb bomb on Ass Scratchers. We will always crumb bomb on Yasa Bosses. We will always crumb bomb on you coons. And then also, too, once again, echoing the message, and we're still pushing the narrative. We're yet to hear from you Biden supporters. You know what I mean? But we understand why we're not hearing from you.
We don't
understand.
If you're scared to call in, they're probably too scared to call in because, you know, we're going to roast that ass anyway. So.
But we understand their frustration. We understand, you know, how they felt betrayed. But keep in mind, Black family,
they
ain't never had
a year and
a year before this election, he wasn't going to do nothing for us. He still ain't met with IQ. He still ain't met with Black Lives Matter. He still ain't, he ain't followed none of the promises he gave before he was elected. It was just like, get your booty to the polls to get Sleepy Joe in, and everything's going to be honky dorky. And
And also, Chantin Harris is not a sister. I wish I'll stop people calling her.
She's an immigrant,
like,
too. That's why you got to watch them immigrants.
Yeah.
She's a prime example.
Yes,
she's an immigrant. She didn't have the FBA experience, the ADOS experience.
And look what she's laying down with, too. And look at her damn husband is. So, you know, that, and she don't give a damn. So she don't give a goddamn about us.
When you ask her for anything tangible, she will literally get to chuckling and laughing and say, I can't do nothing specifically for Black folks. No, we
cannot
trust
do
that
man.
At all.
She's going to be like, no, I cannot do that. I got to do that for, all the people. I got to do that for all the minorities, except for us.
We're the only ones that get told to do that dumb shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You get told to do it for everybody but your own.
Right.
This is supposed to be about Black politicians
and
the Black power agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then also, too, that in the great state of Texas, you saw how they changed their voting laws down there, you know what I mean? And like I said, the only person who I'm voting for in any of these elections is going to be Jesse Paris for mayor of Denver, Colorado.
Well, Jesse is independent. He is not a Republican. He's not a Democrat.
Yeah.
Exactly. The Unity Party.
Thank you, Brother Isaiah.
It's because, you know, these Democrats and Repubs, you know, they're just two different sides of the same coin. You see?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not switched in with any of them secret societies.
Right.
Exactly.
That too.
You see?
Them on secret societies.
Hell,
on bullshit.
Well, we know Elders might be one. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, Larry, Elders, we're talking about your sorry ass. Yeah, we're talking about your sorry ass, Larry Elder. And I would not be surprised if Elder is elected governor of California, although I can't see it happening because out of all my years of living in California, they ain't never elected a Black motherfucker to be governor or lieutenant governor of that. I take that back. You did have a Black lieutenant governor by the name of Merv Dimerly. Now, let me tell you what happened with Merv Dimerly's ass. Merv Dimerly was the lieutenant governor of California, right?
Right.
And the following election, what the voters of California did, they got rid of his ass, but still kept the governor. But they got rid of Merv Dimerly. Yeah, Dimerly. So if you out there, if you still amongst the living, man, your sorry ass is welcome to call in, too, you know. So, Elders, you're going to be Elders. You're a coon. You're a sellout. An ass scratcher. I said that about your sorry
ass
20 years ago. And I'm still saying the same thing about your sorry ass. And then on top of it, too, Elder, to get your head about your ass or whatever, what the fuck you smoking or taking or drinking or whatever, the police department do murder Black people in the city of Los Angeles. Okay? You know?
Been doing that for decades.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yep.
You know?
Been doing it for decades,
yes,
y'all.
Yeah, you see? Yes, indeed, you know. All right, so therefore, folks, we're going here off into our closing comments right here. You know, if this thing decides to work again. No, man, now here we go. Okay. Okay, I'm trying to get this thing here. Because they had a bunch of updates on this
Yeah, from
they
Silicon
always say
Valley,
update.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is like,
yeah,
okay, can you do this? Can you update that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Is Brother Ramel still with us?
Brother
Ramel.
Yes, oh,
yeah,
okay,
cool.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Brother
okay.
Ramel is still
you
with us. Okay, cool. Is Brandy still with us?
Everybody here?
I don't
here?
Think so.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
So
who wants
to go first
the
with the closing comments?
I'm in the bathroom, so.
Okay. All righty. Yeah. Okay, Brother Isaiah, you can start with the closing comments. Then we're going to go to Brother Ramel. Then we're going to go to Brandy. Then we're going to go to Brother Che. And,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Black love, black unity, all black everything. I want to show some, come on, black family. We got to come together in crisis like this. And y'all tired of seeing the same narrative? And y'all tired of seeing all the same bullshit every day? On the same 24-7?
Yes, sir.
And y'all tired enough? And y'all tired of seeing the same thing? Well, once y'all come right here on this platform, make sure y'all call in. We need more think tanks. Like, come on now. Like, we need to come together and discover your input on this current situation. Do not be a coon about it. Do not come over here saying that, and we talk about hate. We're not talking about hate, y'all. We're talking about just coming together and unity as one. We're trying to spread the knowledge and wisdom around the world. Around the whole black unity world, because man, that's what we are living in right now. We need to come back together as one. Black love, black power, peace.
All right. Okay, all righty. Okay, thank you, Brother Isaiah. Okay. All right, go on there to Brother Ramel.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, brother.
Unity first, keep your eye on the prize, and remember that the truth hurts. And the truth is only going to hurt the guilty. That's all I'm
yes,
saying.
Sir.
One brother saying an angel of peace from these. Peace.
Peace.
Always. Okay. All right. Thank you there, Anchor Man. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate you there. Okay. Go on here to Brandy with her closing comments.
Come on, Sister Brandy.
So, as usual, I thank you, Brother Shabbat, for having me. I would like to say this. Black power always in communities where experts out there. Nothing going on out there. We ain't going to be able to unify get them on our page. And something that the but doing our best is revolutionary the new black media, whether it's a real issue, it's strong to we keep up the platforms that we have that we use for good that we enjoy. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
Okay, getting a lot
okay.
of feedback. Okay. All righty. Okay, Brother Che, your closing comments, sir.
Brother Che, got the floor.
Yes, black power, black family. We already know what needs to be done. We just need to do it. Like Brother Patrick was saying earlier, we need to just cut the talk and get to active.
Right.
Action.
We're the only ones that's going to save us. Religion
yep.
needs to bind. It means to control. We want to get our people off of religion, into spirituality, and into
that's first and foremost
revolution and freedom. So
So we need to strive mm-hmm. towards that by any means necessary, because we're in an all-out war. This is a global war, and yet in mm-hmm. the United States we are under siege, and we're just saying, look, we deserve something for our vote. You want us to vote, we're going to demand something for our vote. The days are over, them days right. are over. And yes, my generation sir. Is going to be the ones to usher it in. Them days are over. We're not going away of the boomers. We're going our own way. And we got the momentum now. The torch has been passed to us. So that's where right. we're going with it. And, yeah, Black family, this is an area of war, of nine areas of human activity. Before I leave, I have to lay out the levels of activity. It's education. Mm-hmm. It's economics. It's entertainment. It's labor. It's politics. It's sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's religion. And it's war.
Yep.
So that's the code. We need to get on code. We need to, you know, practice group economics, spend with our own.
Right.
Deal with our own. Because we got to deal with
right.
the stones. We got to deal with the
yep.
enemy within.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Let family just continue to keep your eyes on the prize. We're going to get it. We're going to get that $100 trillion in reparations, even if it's an installment.
Tangible.
We're getting something tangible. Otherwise, we're not going to participate anymore. And both of the parties could collapse. Because they feed off of us. If we no longer get that or any of our attention, that shit is done. And we welcome it to it's fall, just like we welcome the fall of racism and white supremacy. It has to go. We have to replace this with a system of justice, Black family. And that means that nobody is mistreated by the color of their skin. And those that need the most constructive help get it. And that's what we have to usher in, Black family, collectively. And thank you, Shabaka. This was an awesome show. Thank you to our callers. Appreciate you calling in. And just Black first all day, every day. And
every day,
check us out on Frontline Black News every Saturday at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And also check out frontlinecampaign.org. And, of course, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Peace.
No worries. Okay, thank you, Brother Che. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this here concludes our episode for September 7th, 2021. And we're going to go out with our out track by Tupac's auntie called
Y'all know
The Future.
Who
she is. Yeah.
Yes,
sir. Always.
I love.